Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all, 7 Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. From Houston Baptist to Bowling Green, Kentucky, to Boston, Massachusetts, to Super Bowl champ? It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the baby Jets newest fan, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And with me, as always, is AJ, Tariq Woolen for Defensive Player of the Year, Marchese.
It's looking like it, Rob. It's looking like it.
Today, we're talking all the noteworthy NFL rookies from Week 6 of the NFL season. Let's hit it!
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Driving out to KC, maybe. Looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of 7 Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats. So go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink. Spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let the funk out. All right, NBA's back. AJ, how you feeling?
Pistons, 82-0, baby. Let's go.
Same with the Raptors. Collision course.
Oh, Eastern Conference Finals is going to be wild.
And I think we're obligated to say the Pelicans will also go 82-0.
Of course, yeah. The Pels 82-0, that they're going to meet whoever wins the Eastern Conference Finals.
Miami Dolphins 72 team's getting a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, NFL Week 6 rookies. Let's start with the rookie quarterback rundown, where I, of course, as I do every week, have Kenny, Terry Bradshaw 2.0, Pickett. Let me lay you down easy, AJ. I don't know if you know this. Kenny Pickett did not finish the game.
What?
Trubisky magic started, and they toppled the patriarchy that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady spent all Friday night partying with Bob Kraft. Mm-hmm.
What a week for the Patriots. I'll talk more about that later.
I'd like to know if Bailey Zappi was at the wedding.
Not the way he played, I'll say that.
Okay, Kenny Pickett. He left the game against the Buccaneers with 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. Prior to that, went 11 for 18, 67 yards. His first NFL touchdown pass, and scrambled for about 16.
Nice.
Honestly, I know they won this game, but I think it would have been really nice to get to see Pickett finish this out. And knowing what Trubisky ended up doing to win the game, I wonder if Kenny Pickett could have done that. Trubisky, like, in his time in this game, up until this game, Kenny Pickett had looked way better than Trubisky did.
Mm-hmm.
Trubisky in this game looked a lot better than Kenny Pickett. Pickett, I thought, looked better in the loss to the Bills, where they were just dominated. And that's why I wouldn't read too much into the wins. But overall, like, pretty decent velocity. He gets the ball out on time. There was a 3rd-and-6 deep shot to George Pickens that drew a DPI that helped set up points. He had a scramble on a 3rd-and 11, where he picked up 10, and then they went for it on 4th and 1 with a Jaylen Warren short yardage conversion, and that led to the Najee Harris touchdown pass, which was just kind of a dump off into the flats where Harris did the rest. It was a pretty meh game. He didn't really push the ball beyond 8 yards for the vast majority of the game. There was a 3rd and 6 where he kind of ripped a quick 12-yard out to Deontay Johnson, where Johnson made an incredible play. But the ball was on the money. Other than another 3rd and 4 conversion to Chase Claypool on a hitch, like, there wasn't a lot to get too excited about. He missed a lot of the outside intermediate throws. Like, he sailed so many balls out of bounds.
Mm.
Like, of his 7 incompletions, probably 5 of them sailed out of bounds. Which is not what we against Buffalo, we had saw him, like, every pass attempt kind of gave his receivers a chance to win, which, when you got a guy like George Pickens and a guy with size like Claypool, like, that's helpful, but it wasn't working in this one.
At least it wasn't going to defenders.
It's true, but it just, on top of it all, like, Matt Canada's still calling plays, so that doesn't help, but yeah, he didn't really push the ball beyond 8 yards. The velocity and decision-making looked pretty good. He seems poised. Like, the rush doesn't bother him, but he didn't take that kind of that step from the Bills game to this game. He almost felt like he regressed a little bit, or whatever the game plan was to not put the ball in conflict, so he didn't try anything, which was, it's just like, let him loose, because the season's lost. I know they won this game, but it really doesn't matter. It's actually a bad thing, because now they might not get Will Anderson. I just want to see him come back on Sunday Night Football against the Dolphins and kind of throw up those 50-50 balls we saw against Buffalo. Give George Pickens a chance. Give Chase Claypool a chance. Because this type of dink and dunk offense, sure, it wins when your defense plays like this and Tom Brady's got a hangover from Bob Kraft's wedding. But ultimately, this type of game plan, when he's averaging 3.7 an attempt, it's just not doing anything for you.
Speaking of Tom Brady hangovers, Patriots have lost theirs because they got their QB in the future in Bailey fucking Zappy, baby. Pew, pew, the Zap Guns were go win on Sunday, leading a big old win on the shores of Lake Erie for the Patriots. Zappy was 24-34, 309, wow, and 2 touchdowns. He's the best rookie quarterback, unironically, and I think it's lame if they go back to Mac Jones, because I don't like Mac Jones. I don't know, like the stat line's nice. There weren't really any big-time throws, but he just played good ball. Like third downs, like, he had a couple, you know, third and longer situations that in the first quarter he converted, like, just, you know, hit the guy that sticks, easy. 3rd and 9, just trusted Devontae Parker, like, you know, hung it up for him, made a great catch. Then that was the first or second drive. Then they had a play to finish it, just avoiding a sack, rolled out, threw a touchdown. But Hunter Henry went out of bounds and came back in, so it was illegal touching, so that came off the board. But yeah, I just thought he looked really poised, just looking off guys, working to his next read. Felt the rush pretty well, too. He had one, like, Garrett Stripp sacked him, which was, like, his big negative play, but, like, I don't know. Garrett Stripp sacks a lot of people, and just, like, as he was throwing, it wasn't, like, a fuck-up or anything. It was just, didn't feel him. And, like, for the most part, he gets a lot of time to throw, but, like, he looks good. I don't know. He has a nice throw where he just laid one up over a defender to Jacoby Myers. He's just taking what's there, not trying to do too much, puts the ball on guys, throws with some nice touch pretty consistently. He's been really effective out of play action, which I feel is like the bread and butter of the passing game for the Patriots with a good rushing attack. Then he had the 2 touchdowns. The first one, he threw like a little pump fake, came off of it. Tyquan Thornton, just like too fast on a crossing route in the red zone. Just slinged it like to the back of the end zone for the touchdown. Looked, again, poised, just hit it. Not too fancy. Second touchdown. Hunter Henry kind of just like cooked Grant Delpit. It was wide open, like on a corner throw. Zappy just sees it, hits it. Henry finished. Nothing fancy, but like just looked good. Had a nice one where he was just like maneuvering the pocket, stepped up, and like laid one over to Tyquan Thornton again, who I'll mention a little bit later. Had a good game. And like his only like real rookie moment was like, he had like a kind of like a bad intentional grounding play where he just like just didn't get out of the pocket. And I think it was short of the sticks too. Like if that's your big rookie, you know, rookie moment, it's not a big deal. I will say like he looks very much like Mac Jones did last year, and maybe better. Maybe better. If he was like a first-round pick for a team that, like, you know, that needs a quarterback, like, you know what I mean, that wasn't coming off a rookie quarterback last year, there would be, like, legit hype for Billy Zapp, like we saw with Mac Jones last year, because he's doing the same things that Mac was.
Okay, 309 and two scores, completing over 70% of your passes. Again, not a good Browns defense, but a decent Browns team that theoretically is trying to compete for the AFC North. That on paper for a rookie quarterback making his second start playing in his third game seems really impressive. I mean, especially when you kind of compare that to, obviously, Kenny Pickett has a far worse offensive line, far worse running game, far worse play caller somehow. That's better.
That's not good.
But still, when you stack those beside each other, you'd think Zappy was the guy who went in the first round. So my question to you is, how legitimate are the murmurs for Zappy to kind of have a chance to keep this job once Mac Jones is healthy?
I mean, I don't know how much better he is than Mac, but he's sure as hell more likable, I'll tell you that. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think they go back to McCorkle, but if he starts fucking up, it's back to Zappy. I mean, but like, what? Like, what's the smart route here? Okay, say they're equivalent football players.
Yes.
And the Patriots know that. Is the smart
start Mac Jones?
Exactly, they will. But what's like the genuine smart route to trade Mac Jones? Like, I don't. You know what I mean? And yeah, they're going to start Mac Jones. So we'll see. I don't know who's got a better. Like, Zappy's games look like Mac Jones' best games from last year. They're not far off, and it's his second start.
The Patriots' next two games are the Bears on Monday night and then the Jets. That Bears defense is actually
it's solid. Feisty. Yeah.
And
the Jets are feisty.
That Jets defense is big-time feisty. So well, it'll be interesting to see. I know, like, Mac Jones, like, it feels like every week they pretend he's almost ready to play and then he doesn't.
Yeah.
So I wonder how close he is to actually returning to the field.
Well, isn't there, like,
is it going to be in the mid-November? Like, their bye week? They play three games, have a bye, then they play the Jets again November 20th.
It could be
when we see Mac.
It could be this week too. Like, the way they're playing it, we don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's gonna be really interesting to see what happens.
There's rumblings that Mac's controversy. Yeah, and there's rumblings he's not that happy. Mac, that is. I don't know.
What? Because the Zapman is more likable.
He is more likable. It's not even close.
Speaking of likable. Teddy Bridgewater came into the game for the Miami Dolphins. Everyone loves Teddy B.
We do.
But how'd Skylar Thompson look before he got injured against the Vikings?
Honestly, so, okay, here's the stat line. 7 for 13, 89 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. I thought he was, like, better than that stat line. Miami had so many penalties. His best throw of his short game got called back where he, like, had a nice scramble out of the pocket and just, like, lined one. Tight window to River Craycraft. Craycraft, I'll never say his name with respect. Craycraft, and like it was like he almost got down to the goal line, came back. Then like his best like real throw had like a really nice like lob high and over on a crosser to Waddle. Had a nice like silent throw right after that to Trent Sherfield. That got called back too. Like I said, way better than the box score suggested. There was like I think he had like two or three drops too. At least five plays called the completions called back. Had a couple deep shots that drew PI too. I wish we got to see him the whole game because he looked better. I thought like he's definitely way better than I think either of us, but definitely I thought coming out of the draft. The hype is still weird considering, but like I've changed my opinion a little bit. I think he can hang as a QB2, and he ran that offense with a full week of preparation. Like I thought he ran the offense pretty well when he was in there.
I mean, the stat line's better than Kenny Pickett's.
True, that's true. Again, I don't know, like, all three of these quarterbacks, or not maybe all three, but Zappy and Thompson, for day three QBs, have been really good in their limited, I mean, Zappy's got some extended action, but Thompson is limited action, and for two guys that we didn't expect to see at all.
Moving to Offensive Rookie of the Week, I've got guys we've already talked about for both offensive and defensive rookies. So who's your offensive rookie?
Kenneth Walker, baby. Of course it's got to be KW9, the K9, baby. 97 yards, a touchdown on the ground, a couple grabs for 13 yards. Was great. His first big run was on a fun play. They ran the old like direct snap where like, you know, Geno did the, oh no, the snap went over my head play.
Love
I love it too. I think it was on a third down too. Got like 15 yards. Ripped off another 34-yard run, which is like a nasty cut. He's just really, really damn quick. But then like also like the physicality, like his most fun run, got the handoff, made a guy miss in the backfield, got to the edge, ducked under an arm tackle. Then immediately there's three Cardinals on him. Sheds all three tackles, gets out of the pile, keeps his legs churning, gets the first down, and then like just got tripped out, or else he would have had a touchdown. It would have been, you know, on every Sports Center highlight. Instead, it was just a fantastic run. And then his touchdown was fucking fun as hell too. He like just got outside, threw like this weird like jumping fake stiff arm thing at Byron Murphy, froze him, and then like just cruised to the pylon. You know, there were like the negative runs or the 0 yard runs, but like it was just, you know, him getting hit in the backfield. You've watched the Seahawks game before. You know what it's like. But he's looked really good, man. Like coming in, obviously, midway through last week, and he's been nothing but fucking electric.
This running back group's really coming together. Mm-hmm. Obviously, none of them were first-round picks, but we've talked about prior to this show, the last two I given Damian Pierce offensive rookie of the week. Last week, you gave Breece Hall offensive rookie of the week. This week, I'm giving it to Breece Hall. And now Kenneth Walker, who last week had a big touchdown run too.
Yep.
So it's like he's starting to string things together. I'm going with Breece Hall, who ran for 116 and a score in the Jets' shocking domination of the Green Bay Packers. The touchdown run was pretty sweet. LaFleur was in his freaking bag. Mike LaFleur, that is. Not Matt.
Matt was not in his bag.
Not in his bag. It was, I think it was a 34-yard touchdown run. And so they called this fake pitch to the right to Michael Carter and had Garrett Wilson coming around like it was a fake pitch reverse to Garrett Wilson. But as Zach Wilson kind of turned, he handed the ball off to Breece Hall, who had lined up as an H-back. So he hands it off inside to Breece Hall. So it's like an inside zone run. Breece Hall makes one cut, makes Quay Walker miss. And just hits the hole with a whole lot of purpose. Stiff arms Devondre Campbell, ends up in the end zone. It was pretty sweet. Both the design and Breece Hall's execution. But throughout the game, too, like obviously that was the big splashy play, but it felt like Breece Hall just kept creating, even when the Packers had done a good job kind of bottling him up. It would be like a toss play, and they'd set a perfect edge, and he'd be dead to right 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He'd make a subtle inside move to kind of bring the defense that way and then bounce outside, pick up 5 instead of losing 10, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's the things like that. It's his, he's showing off really good patience and subtlety. And it's these little subtle moves where it's the difference between a 3-yard run and an 8-yard run. That's what makes a Pro Bowl type running back, right?
Like, yeah,
being able to create for yourself when maybe not everything's going perfectly, and he just kept doing that in this game. And he pretty consistently was making someone miss, whether it was through contact just one of those subtle kind of cuts to the left, bouncing back to the right type thing.
Yeah, that's what he did last week, and that's why I said like it was like Le'Veon Bell vibes. Like it's just like keeping like it's both cuts and like, you know, physicality, but it's also just like keeping guys away from it. It's hard to describe. It's just that innate ability, you know.
Yeah, and I was thinking about how you had said that the Le'Veon Bell thing, and I was seeing that like obviously not to the same extreme degree of patience.
No,
but he is a very patient running back who combines that with kind of a mix of straight line explosion and contact balance. And he's starting to really look like a special back. And
he is.
The last 2 weeks, he's now had 42 touches for 313 yards and 2 touchdowns. He leads all rookies in all-purpose yards. Like, he is probably the front. I know the receivers started off really hot, but he's probably the front runner now for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Kenneth Walker's on his tail, baby. Because Walker's been – I mean, obviously, he's so much less, but, like, he's been phenomenal too. I think he forced like 12 missed tackles this week. He put up a big game.
And obviously the Texans are on a bye week, but Damian Pierce is 8th in the NFL in rushing yards right now, and he's played less games than pretty much everyone in front of him.
Yeah.
These three running backs are all looking like nice little hits for their respective franchises. And, you know what, I'm just going to jump straight to my defensive rookie of the week because he plays for the same team as Breece Hall. And last week you had Hall and Gardner. This week I got mm-hmm. Breece and Sauce. Like, they're both so damn good. Yeah. And I think, like, Sauce Gardner, I think, might, if you were to power rank the rookies, he might be the number one rookie right now. Just his ability to handle both Alan Lazard, who's like a power forward, and Romeo Dubs, who's a little more shifty, throughout this game was incredible. He had two PBUs. One was on Dubs. What are we calling him now?
Dobbs.
Where Sauce just handled, like, Dobbs threw everything at him in terms of stem, cut. Like, it was a really well-run route. And I think a lot of corners would have just honestly fallen down. And for Sauce to have the type of size he does and to keep his balance and come down on the ball and attack it at the catch point, and he, like, two-hand batted it away from Dobbs, I thought that was really impressive. He also had one where he came across the field covering Alan Lazard. And Alan Lazard had, like, 2 yards of separation. And as the ball was in the air, Sauce just hit an extra gear, closed it, and as Lazard was hauling it in, he just attacked ball. And it was just, I thought, so heads up for a rookie to be able to find the ball and get it out of there that way. And then there was another one which he only got counted with two PBUs. I think he had four. There was another one where it was just kind of like a one-on-one Lazard and Sauce. Sauce just like kind of punched Lazard's hand as the ball made contact. So, incompletion. And he had another one where it was just kind of like down low on a slant. And Sauce just closed it and Lazard ended up dropping it. So it's like technically two PBUs, but he also like kind of forced two drops from Lazard.
Yeah, two forced incompletions, I think you can call them.
Yeah. And then he put the cheese head on his head after the game, mm-hmm. and Lazard knocked it off. And Lazard was a good sport about it in the locker room, but I don't know. Sauce just seems so perfect for New York. He has immediately become a corner one. He is just, his combination of size, ball skills, and fluidity make him such a terrifying threat for teams who have these different types of receivers because he can match up with them.
Yep.
And then, yeah, he's just got that swagger to him, that marketability. He yep. might be the most marketable defensive player in the NFL in a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree. Like, with you know, obviously the high level of play, his personality, you know, the nickname and being in New York, I think that's a fair call. I don't know, man. Like, since we've been doing this show, I don't remember a rookie corner being like this as advertised, this immediate.
And he gets better every week. Like, yeah. His first week was very okay.
Yep.
Not
bad by any means, but just solid.
Then week two, he was good.
Yep.
And then since then, he's just been, like, very good. And now he's just, the last 2 weeks, he's been amazing. He's been Pro Bowl level.
Definitely. Definitely. You doubled up, same team. I'm going to do the same. And I think the keys to success in today's NFL is to have a rookie running back and a rookie corner. Because going back to Seattle, Tariq Woolen won NFC Defensive Rookie of the Week. But I thought his running mate, Kobe Bryant, was good enough to share the headline here with him.
For the fact that we got two Cincinnati Bearcat cornerbacks
being yeah, baby.
For Defensive Rookie of the Week. Impressive.
Should have won the Natty. The Thorpe winner, so better than Sauce. I think we can say that. Like, obviously, I haven't talked too much about Kobe Bryant. He's had his struggles, but I haven't mentioned this too much. He's the GOAT of forced fumbles right now. It's weird. He's consistently peanut punching or just forcing balls out. He's like the first player with four forced fumbles in the first six games since tracking began. I had a big time forced fumble this week on Kyler scrambling, just, you know, reached it and knocked it out. It was a great play because Kyler already had the first. And then, like, in coverage, he's earned that nickel role finally, like, just locking it down. And he finally had his best day in coverage. PFF gave him like 3 catches allowed for -1 yards. So that's pretty damn great. Had a bunch of tackles. Had a PBU. Had a really good game. And then Tariq Woolen had another interception. And he recovered that Kobe Bryant fumble. He keeps getting better too. And, like, this defense has been so bad, and the defense finally had a good week. And it feels like it's because of – it almost feels because of Woolen, and then Kobe stepping up too. His pick was on a fourth down. Like, I honestly don't think Woolen probably shouldn't be NFC Defensive Player of the Week. But so, like, it was a fourth down play. He probably shouldn't have caught it, but, like, didn't matter. It was a fantastic play. It was a go-to Hollywood Brown. And, like, being that size and being able to match up with Hollywood like that, it's pretty nuts. And he just went up, plucked it, came down. That was actually the play that Hollywood got hurt on, too. NFL shouldn't have let him slip. I mean, I've said it maybe every episode this fucking season, but it's ridiculous. And I love seeing Kobe Bryant come on. And, like, it's ridiculous that, like, I think Woolen's got the most turnovers in the league with the four interceptions and the two fumble recoveries. It's weird how much, like... These two are just, like, getting the ball back for the defense. And this defense is still terrible. But they finally came alive, so... Woolen's great. He looks like he's going to be a fucking stud. And Kobe Bryant coming on. It's just... It's fun. It's fun being a Seahawks fan right now with this draft class.
Is the Legion of Boom back?
Yeah, baby. Of course it is. It never left, all right? Unfortunately, Diggs sucks now, by the way. That's the one thing that sucks, but... Yeah.
Wait, who sucks?
Quandre Diggs, who's been so good since they got him. He's not very good anymore all of a sudden. Anyways, yeah.
Well, speaking of not so good corners or DBs in general.
I got a corner.
My worst rookie of the week is Chiefs rookie corner Joshua Williams, who the Bills just took advantage of. Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis both just torched him. And felt bad because Jalen Watson had earned so much mm-hmm. – Clove for that pick six. Trent McDuffie is still hurt, right?
Yep.
And so Joshua Williams kind of got his first taste of playing solid defensive snaps for the Chiefs, and the Bills just kind of isolated that and took advantage of him all day. Bills win 24-20, and a large reason why is because Joshua Williams just could not handle the speed of Diggs nor the size of Gabe Davis.
I mean, you can only go so many rookie corners deep before it's going to cost you, right? Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, it's not Joshua Williams' fault. He's put in a terrible position. He's also a corner I loved in the process.
Yeah,
6'3",
we both did. Yeah.
200, Fayetteville State, small school, super raw, very physical, very athletic. Mm. This is not the game I would have thrown him to the fire in.
No.
And I think that I thought it was interesting, like, prior to this, he had played 17 total defensive snaps in the previous five games, and then he played 75% of the snaps in this one.
I'm also going with a corner that we both loved. This is kind of just like an easy one. Damari Mathis just, like, could not stop getting called for pass interference.
Hey, he rebounded well with a pass.
No, I know.
I put him for not ready to play.
I think that's a good place to put him because he's shown something, I think, in glimpses this year and had that awesome PBU on that fourth down play. But, like, four pass interference, I think it was the first play, too, and then it just kept going. And I think all of them were downfield, too. Like, they probably win the game if they weren't for the pass interference calls.
I think they said... the three DPIs racked up 77 yards.
And then added another one.
It's kind of weird. He's played a lot, but, like, a little bit sporadically.
Yeah.
Week one, he didn't play a defensive snap. Week two, he played 38. Week three, he didn't play any. Week four, he played three. Last week, he played 47, and then this week, he played every single snap against the Chargers.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help his cause when Patrick Surtain's playing elite football, so teams like almost aren't even bothering going his way, so they're extra picking on Damari mm-hmm, Mathis mm-hmm. who for a fourth round rookie he's had some flashes, and I think he's a guy who's gonna see him grow, and I don't know, he's a guy I almost think is better at nickel too, and he's just kind of getting thrown to the fire opposite an elite corner, but I do think the way he rebounded in the second half was pretty cool.
It was. No, I believe in Mathis. I think he's gonna turn into something. It's just, you know, you get all those PIs, it's hard not to put him here.
Corner's also, like, the hardest non-quarterback position, maybe, to make the leap from college to the NFL. And, I mean, really, what that says is it's so impressive what Sauce and Woolen are doing right now.
I mean, not to, you know, take away from Sauce, but, like, what Willen's doing from, like, you know, transitioning from such a small school to and immediately being a monster. Look, Jets, I'm getting a lot of Jets fans in my mansion. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, like, Sauce, we know he's a fucking... I could have told you he'd be the best corner in the league.
UTSA is a G5 just like Cincinnati. Stop.
Okay. Yeah, right. The American, that's power six, buddy.
Okay. But, hey, we both named guys who played in big games. Who's your primetime star, though?
Well, that Denver game wasn't... Please don't call that a big game ever again. I feel like it just is hard not to give it to Brian Robinson, right? Yeah,
big agree. I mean... Statistically, wasn't
it was okay.
The same game.
Yeah.
60 on the ground, the touchdown, played almost half the snaps. But it's the fact that he's playing.
Yeah, and looking like a good football player. Like,
and starting. And it was also a 12-7 slog.
Yeah.
The Commanders could not throw the football. Their offensive line was not playing well. Like, it's terrible. I think with a better pieces around him, Brian Robinson would have put up better numbers. He was kind of the engine for their offense in the win.
And I think that's why they took him, right? But and then the fucking getting shot and coming back and, like you said, being the engine, that's just ridiculous. It's amazing. The 30 for 30 is gonna be great.
Can't wait. Yeah, he someone pointed out, obviously rookies aren't eligible for comeback player of the year, but like there should be an exception made.
There fucking should be. No one's come back like that before.
Moving to underwhelming performance.
Yeah, I'm going with the Jags rookie duo of Trevon Walker and Devin Lloyd. One worse than the other, but I'll start with Walker, who just he's more underwhelming. Lloyd was like actually bad, but like if he was going to turn on the pass rush for any game, it would be against this bad Colts offensive line, and he just didn't. He didn't. He flashed a bit. Like, I didn't think like, oh, this is a bust. Not like that at all. Like, he was producing, got the juice, but like. And, like, yeah, I thought he was pretty solid against the run and looked good when they dropped him into space, but, like, just not – I need to see that stack, the sack total coming. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just not the number one pick at
exactly.
edge type of game you
Yeah, expect. Yeah. Like, had one where he sniffed Ryan and he probably would have got home, but he got held. So that was a good play. But then had a really, really bad roughing the passer call on a 3rd and 12. We were just, like, boinked Matt Ryan on the head. Little too hard. And then like kept that drive going, and they ended up tying the game on that drive. That it wasn't early in the game, but like that eventually cost them the game. But yeah, just like it's the Colts. We saw how fucking terrible they were, and Raymond wasn't in the game, and Smith is back at right tackle. But like this should have been the game, and they needed him too. They needed him. They also need Devin Lloyd, and like I don't know, man. He's been really good. He was the early front runner for Defensive Rookie of the Year. He had 7 tackles, but like a negative impact. I thought, like, just watching him, it felt like he was just like lollygagging around the middle of the field. It really like just uninspiring. The Colts lived on like those short little dump offs. Like Neon Deion had 10 catches. Lloyd didn't make any plays. Like I said, just like felt like he had no juice. Missed a lot of tackles. Like just like, you know, he'd go hit and just fall off. Just bad in coverage. Like letting those like 5-yard Deion Jackson plays. Go for 15. And, like, just really, like, they picked on the middle of the field, like, all game. And Lloyd was just in zone there the whole time. And it was just, like, just such a nothing. And then to cap it off, just, like, Walker had his crowning achievement. He got absolutely fucking big dogged by Jelani Woods in the end zone. It might have been OPI, but wasn't called, so it doesn't matter. And, like, Wood just, like, shoved him to the ground, put him on his ass, and scored the touchdown. So there's nothing worse. Like, I think Lloyd really, I should have probably put him for worst rookie because of who he is and whatnot. But I had the combo here, so I put them together.
I went with 2 different guys, one on offense, one on defense. I'll start with the guy who actually played with Trevon Walker in college. Quay Walker did not play very well against the New York Jets. A couple missed tackles. I mentioned that Breece Hall one. He kind of over-pursued and took himself out of the play. There was a lot of that, a lot of overrunning plays, a lot of just not breaking down, kind of looking lost at times, especially in space. And like, God, the Jets were not throwing the ball. Like, there's a reason Elijah Moore is demanding a trade today. Zach Wilson is not good. They win despite Zach Wilson.
They need a quarterback.
But it's funny that both the Jets and Giants are playing so well right now because it's like everything but their quarterback.
I know.
which makes it more fun. And at least Daniel Jones is like can run. But yeah, Quay Walker just like very much was a non-factor in taking himself out of plays and just not really, especially because I feel like when they took him, everyone including myself was so excited about what he could bring to this defense next to Devondre Campbell and a defense that's really on paper really talented, but they just like don't stop the run well at all. So I feel like he's been just him in that defense as a whole has been disappointing. And my other one is Zion Johnson, who had played so well to start the year. Mm-hmm. He really struggled against the Broncos. I think he ended up with 3 holding calls.
Yeah, I think so.
And was just kind of getting pushed around at times. And I thought it also said a lot that like Jamari Sealer played better than him.
He did.
Playing at left tackle. And Zion, I'm telling you, he was playing so well to start the year. And that Broncos defense was kind of taking advantage of him. The Broncos defense is really good.
Imagine if they had a quarterback.
My God, imagine if they had Billy Zappi.
Yeah, you know what? Here, I'll tie this whole thing up. Broncos quarterback woes, but Jets and Giants quarterback woes. It's even worse considering what Geno Smith is doing because he's better than both of their quarterbacks and he's on both of their rosters.
Top 10 fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, it's shocking. But I'm going to give more New York due for my looks like a hit, if I may. I'm going to go with double Giants. Sticking with the big dog first, Kayvon Thibodeau. I feel like he's also gotten better and better every week. You know, I've kind of had him for underwhelming and stuff. I feel like this was his first signature game, and he had his signature moment at the end, getting his first sack of his career late in the game, beat Mekari with a swipe. Then the ability just to, like, you know, Lamar started to scramble a little bit. Just get in there, knock that ball loose. Was a hell of a play. Sealed the game for them. The Giants are 5-1. Dable stands like us, looks smart. Through the game, he felt impactful. Had a total of 5 pressures. And if it wasn't Lamar at quarterback, he probably would have had a couple of sacks for sure. Just felt like the first game where like he turned it on. And I love to see that. And on the flip side, Daniel Bellinger is turning into such a legit tight end. 5 catches, 38 yards, a touchdown. He's like their go-to guy. He's really well-rounded. He does everything well. Your Kevin Boss pro comp is looking really good for you right now, Rob.
Thank you.
Both of them, man. Like, the Giants are playing a lot of rookies. They're fun. They're just getting rid of Daniel Jones away from being good, maybe. Maybe not, but better.
I'd love to hear that. The Kayvon Thibodeau rise, I think, is just, especially when you stack him up next to Trevon Walker and Aiden Hutchinson, mm-hmm. just his overall consistent, the overall consistent pressure he brings throughout a game is impressive. And speaking of pressure, do you know which rookie is third in the NFL in pressures right now?
Do you want me to get this right or wrong?
Do you know?
No, but I'm going to guess Arnold Ebiketie.
That is correct, and he is my looks like a hit. I think pretty much we all of Draft Twitter and Draft Media was in agreement when the Falcons took him that it was a really good pick.
Yeah.
He, against the 49ers, I know it doesn't necessarily show up in the stat box. I think he was given 2 quarterback hits. But, like, God, he just dominated. I think, was it Jalen Moore who was starting at left tackle for the 49ers? He's just so damn relentless. Like, speed to power, oh my God, he's just knocking more off his block. He was hitting Jimmy G throughout this game. There was a speed to power. There was a speed to power where it almost got, like, shut down, and they threw a swim move in, like a sweet counter. There was one where he just, like, went on the outside with a rip and slaughtered Jimmy G. Just pretty much throughout this game, he ended up playing over 80% of the snaps. He got the best of their right tackle, too, who also wasn't Mike McGlinchey. I forget who it was. It might have been, like, I don't know. It's a player we've never heard of. But the 49ers obviously have a mess on their offensive line right now. But Ebiketie just coming out and being such a consistent threat was really impressive to me. And he looks like everything we thought he would be as a pass rusher.
I don't have his snap counts pulled up right now. But, like, early in the year watching those Falcons games, and like seeing nothing on the off the edge, it left me wondering why Ebiketie isn't getting more playing time, you know. And I'm glad it's coming now.
Like, I think he by like week 12, like, people will be talking about him as not like the win defensive rookie of the year or anything, but like maybe top 10 defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, and like just a guy that might be like you know, like, oh, well, this is the next guy. Was it Daniel Brunskill?
Yes, thank you.
PFF apparently gave him a good grade in the weird article I just pulled up. Classic PFF.
Cool.
Sick.
Congrats for all the Brunskill lovers. Who's your look like a miss?
Mentioned him already, but I'm coming back to Tyquan Thornton. It wasn't like this big, you know, like, wow, what a game. But 4 catches, 37 yards, that touchdown that I mentioned in the passing game. And then also had a touchdown on a jet sweep, 16 yards rushing. But, like, you know, I had him 197th on my board, mid sixth round grade. He went 50th, I think it was. I'm still going to call it a reach. But he's, you know, in his first real action, he's looking like maybe he's not a ridiculous reach. But, like, the 4 catches pretty consistently, you know, had a solid gain, first down off a screen, first catch. Then, like I said, just, like, was too much speed on a crosser in the red zone there, halted in from Zappi in the back of the end zone. Another really nice Zappi throw came on another crosser. Like, they were not asking him to do too much, but, like, they're smart the way their game evolved in the crossing, the screens, and then they gave him 3 carries, actually. Only one of them was really successful, but just untouched jet sweep touchdown. Easy. Getting him involved in smart ways. He looks like something that the offense hasn't had. So he could be like a bit of a... I mean, the Patriots are better than I think we thought they were going to be. Yeah. So he looks like he could be a difference maker maybe in the push for a wild card. I don't think they can make it, but he's important to them.
I'll go with a receiver who needs to be more important and ultimately I think deserves a lot of the blame for the Bears' loss against the Commanders. That's Velus Jones, who muffed the punt.
Yeah.
Like the Commanders could not do anything on offense. Wentz looked terrible. Justin Fields wasn't great, but the flashes and the big playability were out-dueling Wentz at least. And when they forced that punt, it really looked like, okay, the Bears can kind of probably kill this a little bit, or at least burn enough clock to ultimately lock up the win. So it set up that Brian Robinson touchdown. And they end up losing 12-7. He had 2 touches for 18 yards in this game. And they just need, like, sure, he looked nice on that designed run and that screen, but they just need so much more out of him.
Yeah.
Because their wide receivers are not good. Their offense as a whole is not good. They need a spark, and it didn't come from him. And he just, like, seems like a worse version of, like, Cordarrelle Patterson when he wasn't good.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I don't know. Like, they just, you'd think they'd have more design for him if he I don't know. And he's also, like, he's 25.
Younger than Hendon Hooker, so it's okay. Yeah, no, I mean, that was a huge negative play. Like you said, probably cost him the game, or did cost him the game. He had a bit of a spark his first game, and he still is, like, still coming back. But, like, you need him to not. First of all, you need him to do well in the return game and not totally shit the bed like that. Like,
that's part of the reason they drafted him top 100 is because he could theoretically be a top tier return man.
Yeah.
Instead, that happens, and also at the same time, it's like, realistically, is this guy going to be anything more than a low end wide receiver 3? And, like, if that, and so far it looks like no, and they just need him to be so much more than he is.
Yeah, no, they do, and, like, you know, not all of that is a fault of Velus.
No, not at all.
But no, I think the return, especially, like, you know, at least provide the spark in the return game, and it was the opposite.
Yeah, like, he was the 71st pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of good football players were drafted after him. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily wide receivers, but football players like Brian Robinson. They obviously didn't need running back, but you get my point.
Mm-hmm.
That is a high-end, instant impact type pick to make. Romeo Dubs, for example, Dubs, whatever you're calling him, AJ, he went like almost 50 picks later.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speaking of receivers, and Romeo Dubs needs to step it up. He needs to step it up.
I put, for the first time negatively, the duo of Charles Cross and Abe Lucas. It was another win for Seattle, home baby, go Hawks. But, like, I thought both of them had some struggles in pass pro. Lucas gave up a couple sacks. It was probably his worst performance of the year. I'll do the sack later because they were the rookies. Crawford just like struggling as well. I thought like didn't feel like he was anchoring well. They've both been really, really, really solid. I mean, it's not really fair to criticize them, but like, and they won the game. But I just felt like this was the first game where they're both not on their game and struggling. And like, was Seattle actually in the NFC West race somehow? And Geno balling. I felt like Geno was just like making throws like that. He had no business making under pressure. It probably could have been more sacks than I think they had like six sacks. Not all on Cross and Lucas, of course, but they just need to keep it up or bring it back up and maybe add another step. So that and then Seattle can just keep being, I don't know, dangerous is the word maybe? I don't know.
Before you started just getting into your third monologue with the Seahawks, I was trying to say Romeo Dobbs needs to step it up. Nine targets for 21 yards, four receptions. It felt like there were a lot of manufactured touches, and he just wasn't doing anything after the catch, and he was struggling to separate from Sauce, rightfully so. But when you're getting that many targets, and he's like him and Alan Lazard are the 1-2 punch for the Packers, he just needs to create more after the catch for himself. Because he's getting so many opportunities. And my other one was on the other sideline playing wide receiver. Garrett Wilson, 5 targets, 1 grab, 8 yards. He had 2 drops by my count. And with how limited this passing attack is, and like the obvious difference from Zach Wilson to Joe Flacco in terms of attacking intermediate and deep, or at least giving his receivers a chance, like Garrett Wilson needs to do everything he can with every time the ball touches his hands, and it was just such a yucky game. I saw Jets fans complaining, and this is about Elijah Moore, but I saw Jets fans complaining like, oh, we have a winning record and this guy's demanding a trade. Yeah, I would too. He's on his rookie contract. He had 1 target. Zach Wilson's horrible. Like, this man hasn't been paid yet. Like, he's trying to fight for that second contract. I would demand a trade as well.
I know they're not losing, but Joe Flacco's better than Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I agree.
He is.
I think... Especially now that Breece Hall's kind of found himself. And oh, by the way, Dwayne Brown and Elijah Vera Tucker as the left and right tackle was really impressive.
They're really good. The whole season changed for the Jets when Brown came back.
I could not believe how good Dwayne Brown was in this game.
He's been like he fell off a bit, but like he's been good and immediately coming back. He's what changed the season, I think.
And Vera Tucker, who's played both left and right tackle, even though he's supposed to be a guard, has been like Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he's like maybe the least appreciated player in the league, like for what he's actually doing right now.
Yeah,
offensive lineman for sure. Yeah,
yeah, not ready to play. I went with Amari Mathis. Who'd you put?
So I didn't have like an obvious one, but like maybe not ready to play is steep for a guy here. But I want to have a conversation about Kyle Hamilton because like he hasn't been bad or anything, but like. We haven't seen anything close to Notre Dame Kyle Hamilton, in my opinion. Like from the games I've watched, he's been like forgettable on the field. Like I've yet to see like a real impact. He's made a couple plays, but like nothing worth where he was drafted, and nothing where like I remember last year I called him, you know, what Kyle Pitts is to tight ends, he's to safeties, and he's been nowhere near that. And the Ravens aren't doing too great. They need him. I don't know.
Kyle Pitts hasn't done much either. So no, he hasn't. Spot on.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. What do you think? Like, I wanted to know. Like,
well, it's a strange spot where like the Ravens aren't like they play a lot of DBs, and they brought in Marcus Williams, who before he got hurt
was awesome,
playing at an all-pro type level. Yeah. And it's just like I want to see what happens now with Kyle Hamilton if Mike McDonald will feel more obligation to deploy him. He also hasn't been deployed in an overly creative way.
No, I know.
So I think it's a big wait and see.
Yeah, I do too. It's just like I'm ready for it. I'm waiting for it.
I've been waiting months for Kingsley and Ngbare to have a game in the NFL, and boy did he. For my best day three rookie, he's number one. He played 11 snaps, had a run stop, a sack, and a pressure.
It's pretty productive.
They try to block him one-on-one with CJ Uzomah at one point, and that's he just kind of beat him with a rip for a sack. He just looked like a really fun third edge to deploy because of his energy and his heavy hands. I know he's not the best athlete in the world, but very quality game from him. I also put a tight end trio. Jake Ferguson,
who had 4 for 40 and touchdown against the Eagles, and he looked pretty good out there. Connor Hayward, who had a 45-yard catch and run against the Bucks, and Kate Otten, who other side, like, just 23 yards, but very reliable, like, inline tight end.
Kate Otten is solid, eh?
Because he blocks well, and when they do target him, he catches things.
Sure-handed, yeah, exactly. I mean, the rookie tight end class has been low-key good. I put Jake Ferguson for my best day three rookie. Like, he had that, just like that awesome wide open, like, but like catch, but like just getting up and getting it. Then the touchdown, like, flashed on like athleticism. You know, he stopped on a dime and, like, you know, juked out CD Deuce and cut back and finished. He's been good. And like the Cowboys, like, you know, rotating tight ends has been fun, and they're all Big Ten guys, so it's sick. Like I already mentioned, Jelani Woods scored. Trey McBride hasn't done fuck all, but
you mentioned Bellinger too.
And Bellinger, exactly. The group has been good.
Was Ferguson your best day three rookie?
Okay.
I didn't have a UDFA rookie, but like Jalen Warren converted his 4th and 1, and like they didn't play him again.
He deserves it. He deserves best UDFA.
He's better than Najee Harris.
Yeah, I think he is. I didn't have like, I should say, didn't have like a clear, like, okay, Kadar Koho had a monster game. He played, I don't know if he, I think he might have been out. But in the same game, there was a weapon for the Vikings. His name is Ryan Wright. Whenever we can give a chance to highlight a green wave, we're gonna. He was a monster as a punter. 10 punts, average 44, 6 inside 20. But he punted one from his own fucking end zone, and it landed on the Dolphins' 20. I think it officially like 73 yards, but it was like 80 yards in the air. That was just big dog stuff. Ryan Wright's like is a legit punter right now. He's also big. Ryan Wright's the dude. He's the dude.
Punter class quietly been pretty
good. It has been pretty good, yeah.
Your boy Stonehouse too.
It's been good, yep.
Stout's been pretty good.
Camardo's been okay. Yeah.
Camardo's been okay. It's not bad, not bad.
That's a lot of rookie punters.
There is. And I think Cade York's the only rookie kicker.
Yep.
Rookies who flashed. A couple. I'll give you 4. Kyir Elam against the Chiefs. He had his ups and his downs, but he had that great interception in the end zone. It's fair that Patrick Mahomes is going to get you a couple times as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Jaquan Brisker was awesome around the line.
He was, yeah. He really was.
I like that they're blitzing him. The Bears defense is fun. Coordinator is the only coach on that staff who should have a job, I think. Sack. Greg Dulcich had that 39-yard touchdown against the Chargers.
Wide open.
It's his first NFL game. And Troy Anderson played every snap for the Falcons.
That's odd.
Had 13 tackles. Like, wasn't spectacular or anything. A lot of just, like, cleaning shit up. But he was he's such a raw athlete at linebacker. And seeing him hang against a 49ers team who runs the ball damn well and playing, like, pretty decently, I was impressed.
I mean, look, the Falcons, you know, the running back group is not shining right now. They already got Avery Williams carrying the rock, converting from DB. Why not give Troy Anderson a couple carries?
Amen.
That's my start the rook. Love it. I'll give a couple guys that we haven't talked too much about, and then a couple guys we have. Wandell Robinson finally, you know, he came back. He got going in this one. 3 catches, 37 yards, touchdown. Touchdown, like, he's just wide open on the goal line out of a bunch. Easy. And you know he was going to walk in when he caught it, but he's going to finish. Wandell's good. I think he's going to be, like, a big I think he's going to be a big, like, rookie star down the stretch now, rest of the way. Travis Jones had a nice sack, had a couple QB hits. Just, like, bull-rushed his guy right into the lap. Finished. Looks really good. I love that because we love Travis Jones. I want to see him come on. Then for the Cardinals, Cameron Thomas played 9 snaps. Myjai Sanders played 8. They both got a sack. Cameron Thomas, just another bull rush on Abe Lucas, got home. It was really nice. The Maji, like, his get-off was electric, like what we saw at Cincy. Also beat Lucas. That's why I said it wasn't that good. Just, like, Lucas just couldn't get out on him and got home on Geno. Also, like, had, like, a nice, like, push and pull on Charles Cross, too. Like that. So those are the newcomers. A couple, like, old goats here. Alec Pierce scored the game-winning touchdown. Hard not to give him some love. His first of his career. Just stacked Shaq Griffin. Like, lots of hand fighting and finish. It was fun. 49 yards and a touchdown. Like, felt like it was all late for him, too, when they needed him. And then, like, the duo of Marcus and Jack Jones. Jack Jones is just really fucking good. You got to mention him all the time, I think.
Yep.
And Marcus Jones almost had, like, a fucking awesome interception. Just, like, getting to the sideline and diving. And, like, his knee landed out of bounds by, like, half an inch, a quarter of an inch. Also got beat on one. But, like, I just like seeing him out there making plays. And, you know, he's a monster in the return game, too.
I'll give you three out of nowhere rooks. Matt Henningsen had a sack against the Chargers.
Okay, well, that's sick.
Wasn't ready for that. Jasir Taylor.
That's my guy. That's the number one.
Blocked a guy into Montreal Washington to force the muff punt and win the game in OT for the Chargers. That was going to be a tie otherwise.
I think that was the play of the week. Like, it was so – before the ball was coming, you knew he was doing it. You knew he was sitting on – once he saw that you know, the blocker line up, he's like, yep. 100% intentional, timed it perfectly, obviously shoved him. That was I think that was play of the week. Rookie play of the week goes to Jasir Taylor.
Jasir Taylor, nice little hit for me if we just pretend that's enough. And then Michael Clemens, the Jets fourth round rookie, he blocked a punt against the Packers that led the points because the Packers needed that to score points. The Jets needed that to score points.
Clemens has been like quietly productive when they've mixed him in. Jasir Taylor is my main guy, which also I want to shout out Ronnie Rivers getting touches for the Rams. I thought that was so out of nowhere.
Love that. My start the rook, I'm going with Dax Hill, who for the Bengals played three snaps.
Oh, that's not enough. What's going on?
And like he had a kind of a PBU against the Saints. Like Andy Dalton had a last second heave. And for some reason, that's when they had Dax Hill on the field. I guess they were playing a bunch of DBs. And like, the corner and the receiver, like, tripped over each other. But I'm certain if Dax Hill didn't get there, it would have been, like, the falling receiver would have caught it. So I thought it just showed off good range, to be honest. But, yeah, three snaps, 23 snaps in six games. They play the Falcons on Sunday, who have Drake London and Kyle Pitts. They don't know how to use either of them because all they do is run the ball really well, and that's enough. But, Eli Apple is getting cooked by the Saints. I think deploying Dax Hill, and I get that the secondary is pretty loaded. Jesse Bates, Von Bell, Cheeto Uzi, and Mike Hilton. Mm-hmm. But Eli Apple hasn't been good, and that's kind of what he's known for. I don't know. Maybe play Dax Hill a little more outside. Like, let's see Dax Hill match up a little bit with Kyle Pitts. I don't know. It's just you drafted him, I know, so you don't have to pay Jesse Bates. But use him now. Like, you need help at times in that secondary. Like, how's he only playing three snaps?
Especially because he's so versatile. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, he can play outside. He can play safety. He can play nickel. You think somehow he'd be getting on the field more.
Yeah, and, like, that seemed like such a theme for the Bengals draft this year, too. Like, I know Taylor's been out, but, like, why draft these DBs early if they're not going to play them? And guys that can play multiple positions. I don't know. Maybe just no communication between ownership and head coach.
All right. Hit us with your start the rook. Let's get out of here.
Channing Tindall, baby. Channing Tindall. He's played like four snaps on defense all year. I think he had like a nice hit. I don't remember if it was this week or last week. He hits hard. Like, I just want to see him out a bit. The Steelers offense is bad. Let's see him. Like, you can get 20 tackles to Najee if you want some, you know?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I could. So definitely. Can't wait.